But we begin today. Guess who's in town, Drew? The people that want to get rid of Obamacare. The anti-Obamacare. The folks that don't want health care reform. They don't want pre-existing conditions to be dealt with. They don't want you to be able to carry your kids until the age of 26. They don't want health care reform. Jim DeMint. The demented former senator of, I can say that because I don't live in South Carolina. The demented former senator of South Carolina, now head of the Heritage Institute, is in town today for a town hall to explain what, he's got Ted Cruz's father, oh my lord, and some other jokers. They will be at a town hall tonight down at the downtown Hilton at, on Market Street in Illinois. I guess it's free. I guess you could show up. Though something tells me if black folks tried to show up there, they would probably be put out. What do you think, Drew? You think so? Karen Benjamin is with Americans United for Change, and at this hour, they're holding a rally downtown to point out that Jim DeMint or Demented or whatever his name is in town trying to defund Obamacare. Karen Benjamin is executive director of Americans United for Change. She was a former aide to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and former Florida Senator Bob Graham. She's a former reporter for the Associated Press and the Las Vegas Review Journal. Karen, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and I thoroughly enjoyed the introduction. I've never actually used demented before, but now I'm going to.
So we got Brother Demented in town. Why are they doing this tour? Why are they so obsessed with fighting Obamacare?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you remember Medicare, and some people didn't want Medicare to happen when it happened, and Social Security, and people didn't want that to happen when it happened. And now the idea of taking any of those things away is horrifying. They've become third rails, you know, because once people have the kinds of things they need to make their lives better, in many cases to make their lives livable, they don't want it to go away. And so that is going to be the case. It already is the case. In a lot of ways with Obamacare, many of the things you referenced when you introduced this segment about, you know, pre-existing conditions and, you know, not being bankrupted by an accident or a medical emergency, families that have been paying their premiums religiously for years and then all of a sudden somebody gets sick and they run up against these lifetime caps and those premiums mean nothing. All that kind of stuff is gone already. And then pretty soon, you know, millions of Americans are going to be able to either get care through, get insurance through their small business employers who are getting tax credits to help them provide insurance to their employees, or they're going to be able to buy insurance at an affordable rate with a subsidy off the insurance exchanges in states other than Indiana. Many more people are going to become eligible for Medicaid, and so people are going to be given something that materially changes the quality of their life, and once they get it, there is going to be no going back. And of course, it was done under a Democratic administration, passed through by a majority of Democrats. And so politically, that's terrifying for Mr. DeMint and his gang.
We're with Karen Benjamin of Americans United for Change. Now, Indiana is one of the states where our governor, Mike Pence, and our Republican-dominated legislature didn't want to accept the billions of federal dollars that would have helped pay for the health care exchange and have the state run it. They also are not going to allow the expansion of Medicaid to cover more insured Hoosiers. So I'm kind of surprised that Jim Demented is here tonight, because Indiana is doing what they want them to do.
True, but Hoosiers are going to, like everyone else, they are already experiencing a lot of the benefits of health insurance reform and health care reform, and they're going to get more. And I think that the Jim DeMints of the world are terrified that if and when this works out, they're going to lose even places like Indiana, which they have long counted on as a political base.
One of the questions I have is you guys held a press briefing two or three weeks ago. I was listening on a conference call, and you all outlined 10 states where Americans United for Change, Protect Your Care, was going to concentrate. And naturally, nobody loves Indiana. You know, Indiana was kind of left out from that, but we're here in the 11th largest city in the country.
We do love you.
But here's my concern. We're in the 11th largest city of the country. We are about 37 days from the start of open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act, for Obamacare. And it is virtually impossible to find resource people, to find people who can come on this program, can get out here in the community to really explain how this thing is going to work. And there are a lot of us that are concerned that this system is going to start on October the 1st, and people that would want to take advantage of it aren't going to have a clue. So what is Americans United for Change doing in the other 40 states that aren't good enough for you guys to come in and spend some time with us to let people know how this is going to work?
Well, first of all, Amos, you know, would that we were the Heritage Foundation and had the kind of money to be in crucially important places like Indiana. None of the decisions have been made and set in stone, and who knows, maybe we will get to Indiana yet. We are, as you know, there today, holding a press conference as we speak on the steps of the state capitol with a couple of terrific state representatives and a young man who is employed, as are many people who are uninsured, employed and unable to get coverage because he has a pre-existing condition and will now be able to afford and get coverage after that. So we are, you know, doing the best we can. And now I'm losing track of the question. What are we doing to make sure that people know about it in Indiana? Yeah. Everything we can afford to do. I also know, and I wish I had more information on this, and I apologize, I am not an expert on sort of the programmatic rollout, and maybe after this program I can help you find somebody who is from HHS, but I know that a lot of programs have been put in place really pretty recently, mm-hmm. That will be kicking off in September with people known as navigators. They're called navigator grants. And again, I'm sorry, I don't have a huge amount of detail on this. It's not really my area of expertise, but folks who are being funded to go out around the country and let people know the stuff that is out there for them and how to sign up and all of those things. I just read a great article about a guy who went to a state fair in Kentucky, and these folks are all out there, and they're not saying, oh, you know, we are Obamacare, because that has become such a loaded political term, and so they're just talking about the Kentucky program, which I believe is called Kentucky Connect. Mm-hmm. And so one of these women who actually, you know, is being funded by the federal government to get folks the information that they need was telling a gentleman about all this stuff that was available to him, and he said, oh, this is terrific. There's so much great stuff. I'm so glad Kentucky has Connect. It's so much better than Obamacare. And the woman thought, well, I wonder if I ought to tell him. And then she figured, yeah, no. So, but so there is that stuff going on. I hope that it becomes above the radar screen soon.
239-1310, 239-1310. We're talking with Karen Benjamin. She's with Americans United for Change. As you all are going around the country, are people starting to get it, or is it still, we got to wait for the NFL season to start so the people really start focusing on the things of fall, including health care reform?
I think people are really starting to get it. We've had great turnout at our events. We haven't billed them as rallies, but you know, folks have really been excited about coming out and being a part of this. We also work with a number of other groups in making sure that folks know when members of Congress who are trying to defund Obamacare are holding public events so that they can tell their members in the community about these events, and the community members can go out and talk to the members of Congress about their concerns about their trying to defund Obamacare. And we've had just tremendous amount of interest in things like that. I've even seen the media coverage turn around. I think, unfortunately, often it's often the case, across the board media and in life in general, that the squeaky wheel, you know, gets the most airtime. And because we are up against some incredibly well-funded squeaky wheels, you know, the narrative, the story that's been told out there in the media has been pretty negative for a pretty long time. So not necessarily about the realities of what this bill will provide and the way that it will change people's lives for the better, but some negative sort right. of overall narrative about how people are feeling about this. And I've really seen that turn around. And, you know, that's not because we suddenly came up with a bunch of money for a great, you know, for TV advertisements and things like that. I think it's more that people are really starting to see the benefits, and you know, a lot of the benefits are in place already, right. and it can't help but touch people's lives. When you discover that you can keep your, you know, 25-year-old recently graduated kid who is desperately trying to start a career and doesn't need another, you know, $1,000 burden on them, you know, every 6 months or whatever, when you find out you can keep that kid on your health insurance for another couple of years, that is, there's no turning back, you know, and people are excited about it and they're talking about it.
Let me go to Regina right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a solution to the whole problem. For the Obamacare, the health care, whatever you want to call it, for the people who don't want to participate, why don't they just opt out? Get them a letter, let them sign it, saying for the rest of their life they won't get insured no matter what happened to them. And if their constituents want to do the same thing, let them opt out.
For the rest of their life.
For the rest of their life, since they don't want to be, they don't want to participate, give them an opt-out letter. And let's
that
see how
is
many
so
people will
tempting.
Sign.
Here's the problem with that, though, is, you know, we're a civilized society, and so when these
really?
People show, well, that's, you know what, that's not a point I would argue, actually, now that you But when these people then show up at the emergency room, I think that, you know, the brave doctors and nurses who work there are going to take care of them and care for them and give them what they need, and then we're going to wind up paying for it.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Regina. I appreciate it. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go to Dave at 239-1310. Hi, Dave.
Thanks for taking the call, Amos. While I would agree with some respect to your guest views, Medicare and Social Security were bipartisan bills that Republicans and Democrats both voted for. And throughout the years, they have come together to make critical changes in both of those programs for the better. But the Affordable Care Act was a an act that was strictly only Democrats supported, with almost no Republicans input in on the bill. But there was one little critical thing they did put in, that staffers for the Congress had to join Obamacare. And but when that came to be, they didn't want it. And you have all kinds of waivers out there that people don't want Obamacare. They got exempted. I don't know how long that exemption is going to last, but they were exempted. If it is so great, why did all these people want exemptions from it? And why did the staffers, they didn't want it, so the president just went in and changed the law.
All right, let me let Karen, and I appreciate your bipartisanship today, Dave. Karen, what Dave brings up is what some on the other side who are reasonable, like Dave, would bring up reasonable objections to the Affordable Care Act. In other words, if it's so good for everybody, then everybody in Congress ought to follow along with it. How do you answer that?
Well, my understanding, and first, Dave, you know, I do appreciate that those original social safety net programs were bipartisan. I think those were that was a different day and time. I would point out that the overall framework of what Obamacare is based on is a free market framework that creates choice and competition in the individual market. And the majority of those pieces of it were originally Republican ideas. It is, you know, what Governor Romney put through in Massachusetts. So I think in a more functional political time, this would have been a bipartisan piece of legislation, and I can only hope, I'm sure you do, that we return to days when things could actually get done in Congress. Nobody opted out of Obamacare in the Congress. The way that the congressional health system works, the way that it works for staffers, is that they have, you know, as many large employers offer a number of choices of insurance plans that people can get on, and they can choose whether or not they want, you know, a more or less expensive plan, an HMO, a PPO, that kind of thing. And that is still what is available to them. They are still doing the same thing. There was, my understanding is, some concern because the way the administrative costs were set up, it changed the cost structure of how that was going to work. And so there was a decision made to go back and not penalize staffers, who, frankly, many of whom, while they certainly make very good salaries, compared to a lot of people in America, also live in a very expensive part of the world, and, you know, and many of whom I think probably could go work in the private sector should they choose to, they did go back and agree to make a change so that they are not paying more than they were paying before then. But really, the way Obamacare works is that if you have coverage through a private insurer, although I guess you can't really call the government, if you work for a large company or a large employer like the government, you can keep the health care plan that you have. It is up to your employer to make that decision, as it has always been up to your employer, and that hasn't changed for federal employees under Obamacare.
Let me go to Mary right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Amos. I have a question. I was looking for in health insurance, and they wanted to charge an arm and a leg, so to speak, for pre-existing illnesses. And I was wondering if the Obamacare will eliminate the high cost of pre-existing insurance.
I think it will, and I think part of the problem is those rates and plans don't go online. You can't start signing up for them until October the 1st.
Okay.
And then they don't take effect until January the 1st.
Okay.
And I think this is where one of the problems is. The state of Indiana, you know, our Department of Insurance, you know, put out estimates of what they believe these plans will cost, and it says it's 72% more than they exist, but nobody really knows that till they see, what the particular, rates are. So I think everybody has to, you know, that, and is, and Karen Benjamin, isn't this one of the problems? I mean, when the state of Indiana more than a month and a half ago, the Department of Insurance put out this, hey, our rates are going to be 70 some odd percent higher. You guys didn't counter that. It's almost like you just let that go out unchallenged.
I know that it was countered by some folks in some places. You know, there's only, so much you can do from here. Somebody's got to pick up what you say. So point taken, and I will want to make sure that we counter things like that as loudly as we possibly can anytime that it happens. But I do think there was some work done on that. And the answer to that is that what your governor did was really very tricky. He put out, and nobody knows, by the way, that whether or not, you know, exactly what the prices are that are going to be available in the individual market in Indiana, when it actually comes out. But Governor Pence did not release a cost breakdown of each plan on the exchange. What he did is he did an average. So he averaged how much the actually the most expensive gold-plated, highest standard plan that you could possibly get will cost. And the next one and the next one and the next one, with some of the less expensive plans. And so naturally it came out looking like on average they were going to all be much more expensive. But each of these, in each of these states there are like what's known as bronze, silver, gold plans.
Right.
Plans that are more expensive and offer more benefits and more coverage, depending on what you pay for them. And in previous states it is shown that the vast majority of people do not pick the most expensive plan. So, state rate filings, Physicians Health Plan of Indiana, for example, estimates that 45% of its enrollees will pick the bronze plan and 38% will pick the silver plan. So for those people, which is way over half of the, of their marketplace, of their lives, as they would say, in the insurance market, the jacked up rate that Governor Pence is referring to does, will not apply. So it was really a sleight of hand. So in other words, the average plan cost isn't a great estimation of what the average person will pay. Also, it is important to note that his average plan cost, even if you got the highest, most expensive plan,
right,
assuming that you were one of the 48% of Americans enrolled in the individual market or who will enroll in the individual market who are eligible for subsidies, you're going to get an average of $2,672 to help you pay for that plan. So what he put out there was really disingenuous and doesn't track the states that have put out more information, more honest information. In those states, the rates have all gone down, in many cases, substantially more than anybody really expected them to.
So now, if people want more information, as you guys follow Jim Demented around and the Heritage Foundation in their, you know, let's defund Obamacare summer tour, how do people get a hold of you? Where's the website?
The website is AmericansUnitedForChange.org.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also encourage everybody in Indiana to go to AccountableCongress.com.
AccountableCongress.com.
And what that is a very, very simple tool. We work with lots of partners around the country trying to figure out where members of Congress are holding town hall-style meetings and coffee with your constituents and that kind of thing.
You're smoking
and then we publicly post them so you can go to them and give them a piece of your mind.
You're smoking all these people out. And now, Karen, find you can see how many people already wanted to talk and had questions about the Affordable Care Act. So you need to find us some folks that can answer the community's questions. People want to know.
Well, because let's talk offline. I will try and find you anybody I can. People deserve to know, and I appreciate the chance.
I tell you what, when we go to the break, Brother Drew is going to give you my email address and contact information where we can follow up, okay?
Terrific.
All right. Thank you, Karen Benjamin, the Executive Director of Americans United for Change. Thanks very much for being with us.